We are on our final session of Welcome to Discovering Church Membership. The last time we were together, we were in session three, and we got about halfway through. And I want us to go back there to page 26 is where we stopped, page 26. Last week we talked about our involvement in three organizations of Baptist life. We are part of San Jacinto Baptist Association. We're part of Baptist General Convention of Texas, which is a state organization. And we're part of the Southern Baptist Convention, which is the national organization but also has international missionaries. We talked about how many missionaries we support. 4,885 missionaries. That was based on the 2013 numbers. And then we have about 2,500 missions personnel here at home. Most of those are what we call jointly funded missionaries or self-supporting missionaries. So here we are. Tonight we're on page 26, and we talked about how at all three of those levels, the Southern Baptist Convention level, State Convention level, and the San Jacinto Baptist level, local association level, we have staff, support staff, that can help us fulfill our purposes in the area of evangelism, discipleship, worship service, missions, and fellowship. Let's talk now about our programs, what kind of programs that we offer here at South Avenue Baptist Church. We have different types of small groups. Last week we talked about how core values, or 2 weeks ago we talked about core values. One of our core values is in the context of small groups that life transformation takes place. Well, what kind of small groups do we offer here? From time to time, we offer discipleship groups. That's classes that are sort of closed. What I mean by, you know, the difference between open group and closed group? A closed group is it's open for the initial invitation, but you're looking for a limited in size, limited in when you can join, because once you start, you don't want to start a class, and then about week three or four, when you're half done, it may be 8 weeks in length, when you're half done, somebody jump in right in the middle of the class, because then they don't get the benefit. So it's limited in size, it's limited or closed in how soon you can begin. Usually after about week one or two, you don't take any new members. And then it's usually limited in how long it lasts. Most closed groups, at least in Southern Baptist life, tend to be at the most 13 weeks in length. We used to go as much as 26 weeks with some of these closed groups, and they said, people can't do that anymore. Nowadays, it's 6 weeks, 4 to 6 weeks normally is the length of a closed group, the way they're designed today. So things have changed. But there's discipleship groups, which are closed groups primarily. There's fellowship groups, and we have different fellowship groups, and sometimes that may be a Sunday school group, a widow's group, senior adult group, a youth group, children's activities, different groups that meet at different times for the purpose of fellowship. Prayer groups. We meet around tables on Wednesday night in prayer groups, and essentially you all sit at the same table every week, so it's the same group. Same group that prays together. But also, from time to time, we get together and we have times of emphasis where we want to pray together, and you may have a prayer group that we get together and pray for a specific person or specific event that is going on. This is something we don't have at this point, but I would like for us to think about in the future having some type of support groups, and there's all kinds of those. The most common support groups are those that are dealing with addictions of all kinds. Support groups related to those who have gone through divorce. Support groups of those who have lost children or spouses or someone near and dear to them grieving over the loss of a significant person in their life. Support groups that maybe deal with a specific illness or disease, for instance, cancer. Support groups, those kinds of support groups where we can come together and find support from one another as you deal with these specific issues that you face in life. And I really do think that our church lives in a community that could benefit from support groups. And I want us to be praying that God would just show us how. It's a huge commitment to move into that endeavor. But I would ask that you would join with me to pray how God would use us to help people in times of need, how to support them better. When they're going through grief, when they're going through loss, when they're dealing with addictions in their life, those are things that we need to think about doing as a church. Sunday school groups, the most common group in Baptist life, Sunday school groups. And we have a Sunday school group for every age group, from life to the end of your life. We've got a group for you. There's a class for everybody. A lot of churches only have classes for children, Sunday school classes for children. But here at our church, we have Sunday school classes for every age group. Recreational groups are a possibility. It's not something we have, but it's something, again, that we could have. It's an opportunity. We discovered years ago that a lot of times people came to church for the first time in Sunday school. That used to be what we call the front door of the church. They would come to Sunday school. They give their heart and life to Christ during Sunday school, and then they join the worship service, participate in the worship service. But their first entry into the church was through Sunday school. And then times changed, the culture changed, and we discovered that the worship service is the primary entry. Sunday morning worship is the time when most people would come to church, and they would be the front door of the church. They literally the front door of the church. They walk in, they get involved in the church, and then they would maybe go to Sunday school after a period of time, get involved in the small groups. But usually they made their decision for Christ based on what happened in the worship service. And that was their first entry point into the church. And now I've discovered that most people don't come to church for the first time to the worship service. Now, it's true that they do here at this church. The first entry point primarily is worship service. But in most churches where I've served before, it's not that. It's what I call side door events. And recreational groups is one of those side door events. It's things like the Easter egg hunts and the fall festival and the Halloween trunk or treat. Those events like that is where people show up for the first time. They have some sort of contact or fellowship. It's our fall or winter banquet. It's those kinds of things that people get a little exposure to our church, and as a result of that, they make the way into the worship service. And so it's those side door events, side door evangelism, and that's where the recreational groups can come in. We used to win a whole lot of people to Jesus by having church softball leagues. Don't do it quite as much anymore, but I will tell you this. Our church, when I was in Greenfield, Indiana, we built an educational space, and part of the educational space was a small gymnasium. And over a period of time, we tracked it, and one of our deacons, he says, you know, our primary evangelism tool is Sunday school. I said, well, you need to check that. And I said, look at these statistics, and I showed him. And I showed him those who had joined the church, those who had been baptized. And I said, you know what their primary contact point was? He said, what is it? I said, what? The activities we did in our gymnasium. It was Thursday night volleyball. It was Tuesday night youth activities. It was Friday night volleyball. It was those kinds of events that was bringing people, making contact. And then later we would get to invite them to Jesus, talk to them about Jesus and those kinds of things. And we discovered that our gymnasium was leading more people to Christ than any of our other programs in the church. It wasn't the gymnasium, but it was the things we did in the gym that brought people to Christ. And so recreational, and even though we don't have a gym, we can still use recreation. And that's part of what we're doing with our children's ministry. You know, having recreational activities, get them excited, get them coming. Our youth. You can do stuff outdoors. We can do other recreational activities. And I'll be honest with you. Some of you think of it as fellowship group, but I consider Monday senior adult get-together more recreational groups. You do fellowship, but we could attract people to the church based on those recreational activities where you come together, we fellowship together, and then you get people to come to church and be a part of us. Mission groups. One of the big things we do every year is Pasadena Faith in Action. We have mission teams that go out and serve in our community. But also, Carson has taken the youth, for instance, downtown Houston, and worked with the mission centers of Houston downtown. There's other mission groups that we could, though, experience. And one of my heart's desire is to see, as your pastor, to see more mission groups go out, send people out, both international and at home. I think we need to think to be more mission-minded, not just in giving, but in going. You say, I can't go. Listen, you go everywhere in the world. You can go on missions. You can go on missions. You love to travel? So mission groups are important. Music groups are important. We have children's choir that meets. We have a youth praise team that gets together. We have adult choir that meets on Sunday night. And you know, adult choir is more than just about learning music and singing music. There's a sense of fellowship and camaraderie and just the opportunity to be a part of something bigger than yourself. And certainly they help lead in worship. And when you worship, we worship. When the choir does that. But really, it's a discipleship process in and of itself. I have often said that when you sing, you probably teach more doctrine when you sing than when you preach and when you teach. People learn about God through the music they sing, and they apply it to their hearts and their lives. So music groups. So there's all kinds of small groups that we could be a part of or are doing already here at South Avenue Baptist Church. Well, what are some of the ministries we have? We have our deacon ministry. Our deacons serve here in our church. Now involved in what's called Deacon Family Ministry Plan. We have our outreach ministry, and that happens mostly on Tuesday nights, what we call our GROW. We ask people to attend at least one Wednesday or Tuesday night a month. The first Tuesday of the month is the G week, and the second week is the R week, and the O week, and the W week. And you don't have to go out. You can stay at the church and make phone calls or write cards and letters to our absentees. But you can be a part of our outreach ministry. But it's not just outreach, it's also inreach. We minister to people not just outside the church, but inside the church. And then there's always a group that goes out and visits our contacts and prospects that attend our church fellowship. Our prayer ministry, we do prayer on Sunday morning during our worship time. We also do prayer on Wednesday night around tables. And then we also have our prayer room that's open anytime the church building's open for you to go in there and pray and talk to the Lord. And we leave a list of all of our concerns in there as well. We've already mentioned music ministry, men's ministry. We have activities from time to time in men's ministry, women's ministry, children's ministry, preschool ministry. Is there any segment of our population? We have youth ministry, senior adult ministry. I said senior ministry. I meant senior adult ministry. Is there any ministry that we've left out? Probably. Widows ministry. Homebound ministry. Thank you. Here's the thing I want you to know. We want you involved in a small group. We want you involved in ministry. If you're going to grow as a Christian, you need to be involved in a small group of some sort. Here primarily at Sunday school. But you need to be involved in a small group. And then within the context of that small group or other groups, you need to be involved in ministry. God has given you a spiritual gift. And within that spiritual gift, you can function and serve. So find out what your gift is, what your heart, your passion is. And then from there, let's move forward and find a place for you to get involved in ministry. Ways that South Avenue Baptist Church will be driven by purpose. This is where our fill in the blank comes in. You remember our purposes? It's the three S's, or the three P's. Praise the Savior, proclaim salvation to the sinner, and prepare the saints to do the work of ministry. So praise the Savior and worship. Proclaim salvation to the sinner, and prepare the saints to do the work of ministry. If that's our purpose, then we need to keep these things in mind. Number one, we will program according to purpose. Any programs we develop should be based on the purposes for which we exist. Just to have a program for the sake of a program, not worth our time and effort. Secondly, we will educate according to purpose. I make this statement. We start where people are and take them where they need to be. So when I say we educate, we train, maybe that's a better word, we train according to purpose, but we start where people are and then try to take them where God wants them to be. Three, we staff according to purpose. We look at areas of weakness, things that aren't being met, and we staff according to purpose. Whether it's volunteer staff, paid staff. We need to staff according to purpose. We'll preach according to purpose. We will preach according to purpose. When I look at my preaching plan, I ask specific questions. What am I trying to accomplish? I always ask the question when I preach a sermon, so what? Because I know you all ask the same question, so what? And I ask, what is it that I hope to accomplish? I have an objective in mind even before I begin to preach. And I've said this before, but let me say it again. I often not only have an objective in mind, I also have a person in mind that needs to hear that message. You say, oh, was he preaching to me this morning? Well, 95% of the time, let me alleviate your fears. 95% of the time, the person that needs to hear that message is me. Okay? But there have been times I've preached messages on salvation that I knew I was praying that God would send someone with their face in my mind. I prepared that message with their face in my mind that I was hoping they would give their heart and life to the Lord when I preached that message that Sunday. And very seldom do I preach a message what I don't have somebody's face in my mind that is motivating me. And I'm not going to tell if it's you. I'm not going to tell you that. You know whether or not you needed to hear the message I preached or not. You know that. And ultimately, it's God speaking to you through His holy word, by the power of His Spirit. We just try to proclaim God's message according to the purpose that He's given. But when I look at my messages, I try to discern what I call the major objectives and specific objectives. And my major objectives are always on those three primary purposes of the church. And sometimes I may have more than one objective in a message, but I have a major objective in a message. And I always try to preach according to the purpose. We need to organize according to purpose. Any organization we have needs to be based on how does it better accomplish our purpose. Not have an organization just for the sake of organization, not because we've always done it that way before, but does it help us accomplish our purpose? We need to add or subtract based on, does that make us more efficient in accomplishing our purpose? Number six, we will budget according to purpose. When we put together a budget as a church, we need to think about what are our purposes and do we finance those critical areas of our church that God has called us to accomplish. I used to have a church that one of the primary purposes was evangelism, and they never would budget anything for evangelism. Absolutely nothing. I said, well, that tells you what's really important. Well, Pastor, we never thought about it. We just thought that's something you do for free. I said, well, you ever thought about having money set aside to have an evangelist that would come in and preach from time to time? That's evangelism. We'll have a revival meeting. Or to do some training for people to be soul winners. That would be evangelism. Well, we just thought that's something you do for free. Well, we needed to budget for those things. And things like that. Evangelism, worship. You need to budget for those things. Some things cost more than others, But nothing needs to be neglected as we think about our purpose. We evaluate according to purpose. From time to time, every change we make has a purpose in mind. And when I say that, we stop to evaluate why we do what we do, and sometimes changes are necessary to fulfill and accomplish our purpose. You will build according to purpose. You don't build for the sake of a building, but you build to better accomplish and fulfill the purpose for which God called you. Now, the changes that you make inside the building are important, but also additions to the building. And in the near future, we've already discussed the church potential building here, and our building committee is in the process of meeting and talking, and we've got some plans that have been presented to us, and we'll need to present that to the church and see what y'all want to do. But know that we don't build for the sake of building. We build according to purpose. And then we worship according to purpose. We don't worship for the sake of worship. We don't worship for the sake of entertainment. We worship. Worship is praising the Savior, proclaiming salvation to the lost, edifying, building up the saints. And I know Brother Bill, every time he plans a worship service, he has those thoughts in mind. And I love the way he just gives me complete freedom to interject my thoughts. And at the last minute, sometimes I say, Bill, I got this song I'd really like for you to try, or really like for you to sing. He's, oh, that's fine, we'll do it, we'll do it. And he is so gracious when it comes to that, and I appreciate him so much. Well, those are 10 ways that we are driven by purpose. What are the priorities of South Avenue Baptist Church? Bottom page 27. Number one priority, God's purposes. Number one priority should be God's purposes. Number two priority, people. People matter to God. They should matter to us. God wants us to love one another, care for one another. Priority number three is programs. And priority number four is property or buildings. Strategies of South Avenue Baptist Church. If we go to the next slide, Brenda. Oh, I don't have this one on there, but top of page 28, before we get into that one, just hold it right there, Brenda. Strategies of South Avenue Baptist Church, top of the page, page 28. South Avenue Baptist Church wants to be a balanced church that faithfully advances God's kingdom on earth. Praise, proclamation, and preparation. Praise has to do with worship. Proclamation has to do with evangelism. Preparation has to do with discipleship. So discipleship, evangelism, worship. And say, where's fellowship and all that? Well, I think fellowship permeates all of those. You ought to have fellowship in the context of all those. Anytime you have a fellowship event, you ought to be thinking fellowship plus something else. Fellowship plus worship. Fellowship plus evangelism. Fellowship plus discipleship. How can we help grow people in the Lord? How can we help win people to the Lord? How can we help people glorify the Lord? It ought to be fellowship plus something else. See, it should permeate all that. But we want to have a balanced church. There are some churches that are focused on worship and nothing else. There are some churches that are focused on evangelism. They win people to Jesus and then they drop them after that. They could care whether they ever grow in the Lord or not. There's some churches so focused on discipleship, they want to grow the believers that they never emphasize evangelism. And that's an unhealthy balance. We need to have a balanced church. Because isn't that what God commanded us to do in Matthew 28, 19 and 20? Go, make disciples. That's evangelism. And after you make a disciple, win them to Jesus, what are you supposed to do? You're supposed to baptize them, incorporate them into the fellowship of the church. That's what you do in baptism. And then teach them to observe all things that I have commanded you. But remember, how do you do that? By going in the first place. You go, you make a disciple, that's evangelism. You baptize them, incorporate them into the fellowship so that they worship. And then you teach them to observe all things whatsoever I've commanded you, Jesus said, and I will be with you to the end of the age. So there needs to be that balance, praise, proclamation, preparation. We need to have a balanced church so that we're not overly focused on any one of those things. We're focused on all of those things. Well, the membership commitment of South Avenue Baptist Church. This is something that I borrowed from Rick Warren at Saddleback Baptist Church, and he gave us permission to use it any way we see fit. But I really like this church membership commitment. And in churches that I've served in the past, we have actually asked members to sign it and affirm it, and from time to time to renew this commitment to each other and with each other in the context of a worship service. And there's four of them. The first is, I will protect the unity of my church. I will protect the unity of my church. How do we do that? By acting in love toward other members of the fellowship. Let us therefore make every effort to do what leads to peace and to mutual edification. Romans 14, verse 19. 1 Peter 1:22. So see to it that you really do love each other warmly with all your hearts. I will protect the unity of my church by acting in love towards other members. We're going to go on to the next slide, I think. I'm going too far. All right. By acting in love towards other members, by refusing to gossip, and by following the leaders of the church. I will protect the unity of my church. Ephesians 4:29, do not let any unwholesome talk come out of your mouths, but only what is helpful for building others up according to their needs, so that it may benefit all those who listen. Hebrews 13:17, obey your leaders, submit to their authority. They keep watch over you as men who must give an account. Obey them so the work will be a joy, not a burden, for that would be of no advantage to you. So number one, I will protect the unity of my church. Commitment number two, I will share the responsibility of my church. How? By praying for its growth. By praying. By inviting the unchurched to attend. And by warmly welcoming those who visit. We had a lot of guests here this morning. And I noticed a lot of you were going out of your way to be friendly to them. Those faces you don't know, you don't see every week. And if you see somebody you don't know, you need to make an effort, especially if they're on a pew you're always sit in. In fact, right now I'm going to commission you to be the pew captain of your pew. And somebody comes in and sits on your pew, you don't know who they are. You know they have to be new because you know everybody sits on your pew every week. Then I commission you right now to introduce yourself. Welcome to South Avenue Baptist Church. Find out who they are and just ask them to be a part of the church family. Just feel like they are part of the family this morning and make them feel welcome, okay? By warmly welcoming those who visit. There is what is called a pride factor when it comes to churches. If you're not proud of your church, and not in a bad kind of way, but in a good kind of way, you will never invite people to church. If you're embarrassed by the preacher, you won't invite people to church. If there's things that embarrass you about our church, you won't ever feel comfortable inviting people to church. So we need to get to the point where we are inviting people, and when we invite people, it's because we know that when they get here, they're going to have a good experience. And I hope that's how you feel about South Avenue Baptist Church. If it's not, we need to work on it so that is how you feel. Otherwise, we will never grow the church. Because you have to have a good kind of pride, not a bad kind of pride, in what God is doing here. And I do want to say this, not because I'm the pastor, but because God is not through with us. I believe God is at work, and it's been evidenced in things that have happened in the past few months. God is at work in what we're doing here, and I am thrilled and excited to see what the future holds as God continues to work in our midst. People are interested in what's happening. we were putting the sign up outside. A lady pulled into the parking lot when we were working on the sign. She said, I've lived in this community all my life. And she said, even though I attend another church, I'm so glad that you all have decided to stay and be a light to the community. And it's just exciting to me to see all the cars in the parking lot and see the new sign go up. And she was excited. She's not even a member of our church. And she was excited about the activity she sees in and around our church building. And to God be the glory. 1 Thessalonians 1:2 says, we always thank God for you and pray for you constantly. We're to pray for one another in the church. Luke 14:23, Jesus said, go out into the country lanes and out behind the hedges and urge everyone you find to come so that my house may be full. Romans 15, verse 7, so warmly welcome each other into the church, just as Christ has warmly welcomed you, then God will be glorified. So we need to share the responsibility of the church. 3, we need to serve the ministry of the church. How do you do that? By discovering your gifts and talents. We've talked about that a little bit. By being equipped to serve by a pastor or church staff or maybe a volunteer teacher. And by developing a servant's heart. Jesus did not come to serve, but to serve. 1 Peter 4:10 says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Ephesians 4:11 and 12. It was God who gave some to be pastors and teachers to prepare God's people for works of service so that the body of Christ may be built up. Philippians 2:3 and 4. Your attitude should be the same as that of Jesus Christ, who took on the very nature of a servant. Number 4, I will support the testimony of my church. I will support the testimony of my church. How do we do that? By attending faithfully. Can't be here every Sunday. Okay. That's true for everybody. But be here when you can. Be faithful when you can. Living a godly life. Setting a good example. And by giving regularly. Giving regularly. We talked about tithing earlier. But we need to give regularly. As God gives you your increase, you need to give. Everybody should do something. If you have an income, you should give. God will bless that. God will honor that. And everyone needs to do their part. Hebrews 10:25 says, let's not give up meeting together, but let us encourage one another. Philippians 1:27, make sure that your everyday life is worthy of the gospel of Christ. 1 Corinthians 16:2, each one of you on the first day of each week should set aside a specific sum of money in proportion to what you've earned and use it for the offering. Leviticus 27:30, a tenth of all your produce is the Lord's and it is holy. So we can support the testimony of our church. We can serve the ministry of our church. We can share the responsibility of our church and protect the unity of my church. Ways we communicate. How many know what the Herald is? It used to be out every 2 weeks. We've gone this year to monthly publications. And it provides announcements for the coming months and reports from the previous month. It can always be picked up in the lobby of this building. It can also be sent to you electronically if you have an email address. You give Debbie, our church office, your email. We'll make sure you get it every month via your email. We also do text messaging. By the way, people told me when I first came here, communication's a real issue in every church. But they said, communication's not always real clear. And we're still having problems with communication, but I want you to know all the ways we do communicate. We're trying to make it better, okay? But one of the things you can do, if you have a cell phone and you get text messaging, you can subscribe to our text message. And it shows you there how to do it. The bottom page 30, you just text J18GCD to 90210, just like the Beverly Hills deal, okay? You type in the number 90210 and you type in that text J18GCD. And the minute you do that, you will receive a text message. And it will tell you in that text message that if you want to receive text from the church, you have to sign up for the various lists that are sent out. And you would go in there and you'd sign up for the various lists and you would hit send the second time. And then they'll give you another email and you have to say yes to each one of those. So it's what we call a double opt-in message. So you don't get anything that you don't want, okay? But we send out specific prayer requests. We send out emails or text messages concerning special events that are going on. And if you're subscribed to our text and to those various messages, depending on what group you sign up with, it lets you know what our Wednesday night suppers consist of, those kinds of things. But that's another way that we communicate. We also correspond via email, so that make sure you have your current active email address so that we can contact with you again about important events or activities. Some people prefer to be contacted by email. Some of the younger people don't even look at their emails anymore. It's all text messaging. So sometimes people say, I sent you an email and you never responded to me. Well, I get to looking, and sometimes the email they sent me was thrown over into the spam folder, which I never look at. And so sometimes just because you give me an email, don't assume that I got it. If I don't respond to you, send me another one so that I make sure I can respond to you. And do the same with Brother Jim and with Debbie and with Carson and Bill. Normally, if I email Bill, he gives me, got it. He gives me just a little short little message telling me he got it. And I'm sometimes not guilty of doing that. I am guilty of doing that, not doing that. But I try to respond as well. I got it. I got your message. I want you to know that I received it. And do the same for us, okay? So that we can communicate. And make sure if you do give us your email that you list office@southavenue.org in your address book so it doesn't get sent into the spam folder, because most of the emails come from Debbie, and it's office@southavenue.org. Phones are still used as a means of communication, and if that's how you want to be contacted, make sure that your cell phone number as well as your home phone number is in our files, because we want to be able to contact you when we need to and let you know of things that are going on. And then we often send out reminders via U.S. Postal Service, old snail mail. And it's important that we have your up-to-date mailing address, because from time to time we will send out letters or cards to people and we'll come back, say, an incorrect address. So if your address changes in any way, please let us know. Our bulletins on Sunday morning have our announcements and our calendar for the week. And they're used to post weekly information announcements. We also put announcements on our screens when you walk in on Sunday morning. We try to announce the activities for the coming week and key activities in the near future. And then we have a brief opportunity to put some information on the church sign out front. So those are ways we communicate. I know some of you are way back there and you'll never be able to see it, but over here on the corner on the top menu where it says Church Info, underneath that tab, if you scroll down, there's a tab that says Welcome to Discovering Church Membership. There's this 30-page pupil material on the website with all the audio, with all the discussion edited out. I had to condense it, but all of that's been edited with the exception of tonight's message, tonight's class. All of that is there in audio form. So if somebody wanted to hear these discussions and go through the notebook on their own, they can download the material, print it off. It's there in PDF format, or they can scroll along and read on the screen as they listen to the audio on the screen. So it's there under what's called church info. Second thing I want you to notice, there's a tab up there that says church calendar. Church calendar. If you are planning an event in your Sunday school or anything, all you have to do is go to that church calendar and you'll see what's already been planned. That is a Google calendar, which allows you to subscribe to those events, and it will send you an email when something is on that calendar telling you this is going to take place on such and such a time. Another way to communicate, okay? But that Google calendar, when Debbie updates it in her Google, it automatically updates on our website as well. So she doesn't have to update it in two places. She updates it one place, and then it feeds to our calendar. Also, there's another tab that says media. I was using a service for a while called sermon.net to broadcast all of our sermons online. That used to be free. Now they're charging, and I'm just too cheap to pay for it. So now we're posting our audio online right on our website. So it's not as pretty a menu as it used to be. The old menu is still there, about a year's worth of sermons. You go beyond a year and they start dropping off. But I no longer have access to sermon.net, though some of those sermons are still active and going back to about September of last year. But all the new stuff over the last couple of months has been posted under the media tab of our website. And so if you want to hear something online, you can download it or you can listen to it right online. And those are ways we can communicate. There's lots of good preachers to listen to. I'm not saying you ought to listen to me versus somebody else. But sometimes people say, I miss Sunday. I sort of like to know what you did. Now, we don't put music on there, and I'll tell you why. There's too many copyright issues in regards to music. Very seldom do I post a song unless I know we have permission to do so. So it's just the sermon, and that's all we put on there. Beginning of the sermon, invitation, and that's what we have on there. And if people want to hear the message, they missed it Sunday, they'd like to hear it, it's available online. A lot of other good information on there. One other thing I want to mention, this little thing down here at the bottom, it's a little green, it says the story. It's a presentation of the gospel. And if people want to know how to be saved, you can point them to the website. They see the story. If they fill out the information at the end, it comes to us saying they've made a decision for Christ. So it's another tool for evangelism. But it's just a story of salvation, how Christ came to die for us. By the way, Facebook, we communicate via Facebook as well. I have a Twitter account. So I usually post my sermons on Twitter, Facebook. We also have a blog, and it's all on the page. It's all on the website. And I don't do as much with the blog. Usually what I do with my blog is I post other articles from other blogs or other websites that I think are of interest to our church. Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you for all that you mean to us. We pray your blessings upon us as we go from this place. We pray for our community, Lord, that you would allow us to be a light in the midst of darkness. I pray that you'd help us to seek and to examine ways that we can make a difference where we are. We need to grow in our programs. I pray, Father, they would always be according to your purpose. As we go from this place tonight, give us opportunities this week to talk to somebody about Jesus. And help us to love you and live for you our whole lives. For it's in Christ's name I pray. Amen.